World War II, the Russians lost somewhere around 27 million people. They were still feeling the effects of World War II in 1991 when the Soviet Union collapsed. But they had gone through tough times for 40 years, and they were used to it. Americans are fat, dumb, and happy, and they're not prepared, and it's going to be far worse. We're probably going to have a civil war. There are going to be people starving in the United States. There are people who are going to freeze in the United States. The cost of fuel, it's going to go through the roof. The cost of food, it's going to go through the roof. And it's end of the empire, and people are not prepared.
All right, welcome everybody to part two of my interview with Bob Moriarty, a veteran, a financial analyst, an author, a very accomplished pilot and combat pilot who flew 800 missions in Vietnam. And I love his take on things because he's got great courage. He's not afraid to tell it like it is. And he has an urgent warning for the world today that things are changing in ways that very few people understand, but it's now irreversible. In other words, things have happened that will make this scenario that Bob's going to share with us now inevitable. It's like falling dominoes. It's cause and effect at this point. It cannot be stopped. So welcome back to part two of our interview. Bob Moriarty, always a pleasure.
You've just done something that you didn't even realize what you had done, but I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Okay, I want you to put up the picture of my website again.
Okay, 321gold.com?
Yep.
Okay,
you want to know what the future is going to bring? Look at the price of gold.
Yeah.
To the right-hand corner.
It's been plummeting, and silver's down to 72, gold's 46.60. Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. Literally, okay, that is one of the side effects. We have an exceptionally fragile monetary system right now and financial system. And the price of gold and the price of silver is down over 10% once today. And this all has to do with the chaos that has been created in the Middle East. Now, let's talk about tactics and strategy. Is it clear to you the difference between tactics and strategy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You want me to,
okay.
You want me to explain? Or
tactics is, let's go take this hill.
Yeah.
Strategy is, how do we win the war? Now, the United States is very good at tactics, but it's not good at strategy. General William Westmoreland was the commanding general of U.S. forces in Vietnam for years. And many years after the war, he was at a conference, and his equivalent in North Vietnam was General Giap. Westmoreland went up to Giap and he said, I find it quite interesting that we fought many battles against the North Vietnamese and we won every battle. And Giap just looked up at him and said, winning battles has nothing to do with winning wars.
That's right.
Now, one of the things that people who have not been at war don't understand is that killing people has nothing to do with winning wars. Now, the United States and Israel are extremely effective at killing people. Millions of people have died since 9/11 in wars started by the United States with no particular reason whatsoever. Israel has massacred a couple of 100,000 people in Gaza just in the last couple of 2.5 years. They're very good at killing people, but that's not the same thing as winning wars. If you're going to win a war, you have to change people's point of view. Now, the two oldest countries in the world are Egypt and Iran. I ran it for thousands of battles, okay? They won most of them, they lost some of them, but they're quite prepared to defend their country. This is existential for them. They're fighting for their life. Israel, on the other hand, is doing it to expand their influence in the Middle East, and it's not existential. Trick question, you know I love trick questions. How does a nuclear state of 9 people defeat a non-nuclear state of 92 million people?
I think they don't. I think they don't defeat.
They can. They can.
Okay.
They can destroy Iran. And if they destroy Iran, they literally destroy the world's economy. It's one of those things. It's a pyrrhic victory that if you win, it costs you far more than if you had lost. Iran is bravely and intelligently protecting themselves, and they've laid out very clear objectives and very reasonable objectives. Now, one of the things I enjoyed a lot, I wish I had a list of all the comments when Donald Trump went out and said, okay, we need help opening the Strait of Hormuz, and we want NATO to help. Okay, I mean, it was funny. These guys were falling all over themselves. Hey, Donald, screw you and the horse you rode in on. So this amazing situation where Donald Trump's claiming victory for the last 19 days or 20 days, whatever it is. And in fact, he's begging NATO to bail him out. And these people have finally woken up to the fact, wait a minute, it's not our war. We have nothing to gain whatsoever. The unintended consequences that you were alluding to, it's very important. Something like 30 or 40% of the ingredients for fertilizer go through the Strait of Hormuz or go through the Red Sea, and those have been shut off as well.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, Bob, but I want to add something to this because you're going in the right place. I did some research this morning. The UAE, all of its oil facilities are now offline. So it's producing zero oil. That's the UAE, the largest OPEC producer, is completely offline. And its gas field is also offline. We already talked about Qatar Energy declaring force majeure on its long-term contracts that are supposed to deliver energy to various European countries as well as many Asian countries. And in our previous interview, part one, that people can find at brightvideos.com, we talked about how there's a multi-year rebuild time for the two liquefaction gas trains that have already been destroyed, apparently, according to the CEO of Qatar Energy, and that it's a 10 to 15 year rebuild time if all 14 are destroyed, which Iran has promised to do. So, but my question to you, sir, is what happens to our world if this oil, this gas, this fertilizer is taken offline for years? What happens?
Well, you could find out by moving to Cuba.
Right. Lights are out.
There's no electricity in Cuba. There's no gas. There's no fertilizer. There's no diesel for their tractors. I mean, Donald Trump, you're not old enough to recognize this. I was around in 1959. I was 13 years old. We've had sanctions on Cuba since 1959 because we didn't like Castro.
Right.
And he's been dead so long, nobody even remembers his name, and we've still got sanctions. And Donald Trump, no planning, no thinking whatsoever, no leadership from the people surrounding him, has put an oil embargo on Cuba. And of course, I'm scratching my head saying, what'd Cuba do? Okay. And Cuba didn't do anything to the United States. Iran didn't do anything to the United States. Russia didn't do anything to the United States. Venezuela didn't do anything to the United States, but somehow we've decided these people are all the enemies. But if you want to see how bad the world is going to be in a year or two, go to Cuba. And you're going to see what it's like to not have electricity 24 hours a day. And you're going to see what it's like to have people literally starving in a country that if you could climb a coconut tree, you could feed yourself. And there are people who are going to starve. There are several issues that are ultra important. The fertilizer issue is ultra important because most of the fertilizer, a third of the fertilizer in the world, comes through the Strait of Hormuz or the Red Sea. But why is that important right now?
Well, because this is planting season for the Northern Hemisphere.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, what happens if you don't fertilizer before you plant?
Your crop yields fall by an average of 50%.
Thank you. It is that simple. We are screwing around with stuff that is catastrophic. And I'm the guy who's been claiming for years that the debt-based system is going to collapse.
Yeah.
It's collapsing faster and in a far more dangerous way than I can imagine. This year, it just happens that the natural gas storage in Europe is at the lowest it's been for many years. Now, typically, you load natural gas from March until November, and then you consume natural gas from November till March. So we are going into the period where you load the reservoirs with natural gas. Guess what? There ain't going to be any natural gas, okay?
Right.
And the idiots in Germany have shut down their nuclear plants, so that they got a problem.
So they've
got a giant problem.
That brings us to, we have to remind people that the U.S., in an act of terrorism, also blew up the Nord Stream pipelines a few years ago.
No, they didn't.
Okay, who... Are you saying someone else did it?
No.
Oh.
How many pipes were there?
I think there were two that were destroyed, right?
Nope.
Okay, tell me.
There was Nord Stream 1.
Yeah.
And there were two pipes. And it was Nord Stream 2. And there were two pipes. There were four pipes total.
Okay.
Now, I can prove to you with facts and logics that the United States military did the attack.
Yeah, I agree with that conclusion. And
because the United States military, the most expensive military in world history, could attack four pipes and only take three of them out of production. Nobody is talking about this. Germany could go to Russia and say, you know, we've reconsidered our position and we realize how stupid we were, and we would really like to open that fourth pipe. And
okay,
they could do that.
All right. Thank you for that. That confirms my point, which is that the U.S., in an act of terrorism against civilian infrastructure, weaponized the cutting off energy in order to harm its own allies. So, U.S. harmed...
The bizarre... Where was the Chancellor of Germany when the attack took place?
Well, he was standing right beside Joe Biden approving all of it, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, here's what's crazy. I wrote an article a few days after that, and I said the EU and NATO just committed suicide.
Yes, they did.
And it was suicide. You got the Chancellor of Germany, the guy who's running the friggin' country, and he said, Joe, yeah, it's okay. Go ahead and blow up the pipeline. We don't need cheap natural gas from Russia.
Right,
we'll
right.
We'll just starve.
And then on top of that, isn't there an EU law that was passed that's not yet in effect, but it's going to go into effect that prohibits purchasing energy from Russia?
Right.
That's passed, right?
Let's talk about the good news and the bad news. Now, the bad news is world economy is about to blow up. You can look at the price of gold on that chart that just showed, and that's saying, hey, the shit's hit the fan. But the good news is the Chihuahuas who are running the countries in Europe, there's going to be regime change in Germany. There's going to be regime change in France. There's going to be regime change in the UK. There's going to be regime change in Saudi Arabia. There's going to be regime change in Qatar. There's going to be regime change in the UAE and the six Gulf states. And Donald Trump, do you remember what he demanded, what he said, a two-word demand to end the war?
Unconditional surrender.
Thank you. Okay. The war is going to end with unconditional surrender, and it is going to end with regime change. However, like World War One,
it's not the one he thinks. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. And when the United States, when somebody in the United States government reads the Constitution, says, you know, we got this Article 25 of the Constitution that says when the president's an idiot, you could fire him.
Right, right.
And somebody's going to say, you know, hey, I got an idea. You know, why don't we fire this blithering idiot? He has done more damage to the United States than any president in history. Totally unprepared.
100%.
And to the extent that, another trick question. Constitution talks about three crimes. And only three crimes. One of them is counterfeiting, and you know we do that. One of them is piracy, okay? And Donald Trump, for the first time that I can remember, has gotten the United States involved in piracy. Got any idea what the third one is?
Treason.
Thank you. And treason is specifically defined as giving care and help to the enemy. And I will absolutely maintain that the enemy is not Iran. It is the group of fools, the religious fanatics who dragged the United States into a war. The United States cannot possibly win. And Donald Trump is so stupid. Donald Trump said, I'm going to take my baseball and my bat and I'm going to go home. Okay, I'm not going to play this game anymore. And Iran's going to say, take all your troops with you. Now, were you aware there was a mutiny on the Gerald Ford?
Yeah, 13 sailors, I believe, was it?
I'm
sorry.
The United States admits 13 Americans have been killed, and I'll tell you flat out.
No, wait, I'm talking about there was breaking news today about 13 sailors went AWOL, but I think it was from the Abraham Lincoln. And that's different from what you were saying. I think you're talking about the deliberate sabotage of the toilets and the fire in the laundry room.
Exactly. A funny situation. I was landing on aircraft carriers when I was 19.
Okay. Wow.
So I got a real passion for aircraft carriers. The Gerald R. Ford is the most expensive ship in world history. It was $13 or $15 billion. And they put in a septic system where you flushed the pipes out with vacuum. And they had taken the design from a hotel somewhere, and it just didn't occur to them. You couldn't do that on an aircraft carrier. So literally every 6 months, they have to take the Gerald Ford in, and they have to flush the pipes with acid to clean out literally all of the crap. So Gerald Ford was involved in the kidnapping of Madero in Venezuela. And those guys have been on duty for months, okay, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. And frankly, they're worn out. So all they had to do to stop up the toilets was take towels and flush them down the toilet. Now, there's no identifying who that was. And the captain of the ship said, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. And the sailors said, well, hell, but we got to do something else. So they started fire. And the captain said, you know, maybe we need to go back to Crete and rethink our position about fighting this war. Now, what they should do with Abraham Lincoln and the Gerald Ford and the other carrier that they're fixing to bring over, they should put a big bullseye on the center carrier deck, because you have to be aware the Chinese and the Russians are doing the same thing with Iran the United States was doing with Ukraine. They're providing intelligence data. The Ukrainians have minute by minute data, satellite data, of exactly where all the U.S. forces are. And they have some brilliant missiles. And if somebody moves one of those carriers within striking distance of one of those missiles, we're going to be burying 5,000 American kids. And I'll tell you right now, and I'm the only guy with the balls to say it, I controlled hundreds of airstrikes, okay? I was the guy picking targets. I know how to pick targets. All of the attacks Iran has made on U.S. forces, there are hundreds or thousands of Americans who have been killed. You could not possibly have 13 dead people.
Wait, did you say hundreds or thousands?
Yes.
Okay. I mean... Well, we just saw the funeral proceedings of the soldiers was classified so that no one can see how many coffins, how many draped coffins there are, right?
Do you remember what the first thing they admitted to was?
Just the first fatalities? It was just two. It was just two soldiers.
Three.
Oh, three.
Three.
They were at an outpost that got hit by a drone?
Well, they were killed.
Yeah.
They fly these people into Dover, and then they have a very elaborate ceremony for taking the coffins off the ship.
Uh-huh.
And the United States DOD is claiming three people were killed. And they take the first guy off, and they've got all of the military people carrying the coffin, and everybody's all prim, and they've shined their boots. And I looked at the aircraft and I thought, wait a minute, there's a problem here.
That's a big plane for three coffins.
One coffin. There were three coffins in the plane. Okay. So at exactly the same time, they're claiming three Americans have been killed. There are four coffins.
Huh. Oh, okay. They took one off and there were three more there. By the way, is your dog doing okay? I see your dog in the background. Is he all right?
My dog requires a lot of attention, and he gets very jealous, and you can kind of see him in the back. Come here.
He was playing with that.
You're gonna kill me. My dog hates it when I get attention. He doesn't.
I see. Okay. No worries. I have a dog over here too, but he's sleeping at the moment. All right. So Bob, what I want to ask you here as we get towards the final minutes of this, though, is what does this mean for Americans in terms of scarcity, increased prices, poverty? You know, I mean, you and I both know, Bob, I mean, you are well known for seeing way ahead of the curve and for being right. And you're well known for having the courage to say the obvious, which, yes?
Hang on.
Yeah?
I was wrong.
Oh, about?
I got to admit it.
Oh, about what?
I said 15 Girl Scouts. It wasn't 15 Girl Scouts. It was 12 Girl Scouts.
Okay. All right. But if you fast forward 1 year in America, what are we looking at? In terms of the, you know, the economic and supply chains and food, et cetera. Because, you know, America may not get hit nearly as hard as some of the Asian countries or European countries, but we're still going to feel a big effect of this that's been set into motion. What's that going to look like?
Think 1929 times 10.
Whoa.
Okay. It's going to be worse than anyone realizes. In World War II, the Russians lost somewhere around 27 million people. They were still feeling the effects of World War II in 1991 when the Soviet Union collapsed. Vladimir Putin's older brother actually was killed in World War II. But the Soviet Empire collapsed by 1991. And people had gone on minimum wages, and you couldn't buy an automobile. It took years to get a telephone. But they had gone through tough times for 40 years, and they were used to it. Americans are fat, dumb, and happy, and they're not prepared. And it's going to be far worse because we have no leadership whatsoever. Some of the things that Pete Hegseth is saying and Donald Trump saying, it just absolutely scares me because it's a total revision, an ignorance of international law. We are probably going to have a civil war of sorts because Americans are going to be very angry when their food stamps don't pay and the cost of gas is $15 a gallon. And we're going to see that. Now, I was quite surprised today. I filled my car up. The price of diesel here is about 2 euros per liter. And when I put the credit card in, it said, okay, you're restricted to 100 euros. And 100 euros at two euros per liter is 50 liters, which is a little bit over 12 gallons. We are seeing effectively gas rationing right now. And you remember what 1979 was like, okay? 1979, you only had to wait in line for 2 or 3 hours for fuel. It's going to be worse this time.
And as you pointed out, culturally, the American people have had it good for a long time, for generations, living on the debt Ponzi scheme that U.S. treasuries represent, basically living off of the labor and exports of other countries in many ways. So the American people, by and large, are not prepared like, you know, the Persian people or the Russian people who've survived under sanctions, or even the Cuban people. You know, the Cuban people are more resilient. Right. Go ahead. Yeah.
Question. What's the debt of the United States today?
Well, I think it just crossed $39 trillion, but that's just official numbers, right?
That's right. It's not the unfunded debt. That's funded debt. We just hit a new number. You're absolutely correct. Americans don't have the leadership. They've been told everything is wonderful and you're Americans and you're better and superior to everybody else in the world. And they believe it. They're not prepared for bad times, and bad times are coming. There are going to be people starve in the United States. There are people who are going to freeze in the United States. The cost of fuel is going to go through the roof. The cost of food is going to go through the roof. And it's end of the empire, and people are not prepared.
Well, imagine, though, when the Epstein empire ends, you know.
He's okay.
When the Epstein empire ends, you know, look, I got to say, there will be a lot less violence in the world, you know? I mean, because the Epstein empire is running around bombing and killing and genociding everybody on the planet. And
you just brought up the most important point, and I totally missed it. We're going to have peace in the Middle East for the first time in 80 years. Okay. Iran is going to win this war. They're going to do a lot of damage, okay, to the GCC that it's going to take years. However, we're going to have peace in the Middle East for the first time in 80 years.
Yeah. And stability. And, you know, look, I'm rooting for humanity. I'm rooting for the good guys. And the good guys are not the Epstein Empire. That's for sure. But I believe in good people, and I believe in the resilience of people. But we have become, in America, where I am, we've become a culture, as you said, of complacency. The American people are largely, you know, fat and lazy, and they're not even aware of the things that you and I are talking about here today. It's a very tiny percentage of the American people that have any idea what's coming. Most of them will not prepare. Most people don't know how to grow food. Most people don't know how to repair anything on a farm, a tractor, a car, nothing. So it's going to get real interesting here in this country. That's for sure.
Can you define Armageddon?
Well, I mean, are you looking for the biblical perspective or just the practical?
Yeah. No. What is Armageddon?
Oh, well, I guess it's the final battle for Earth, right? The final destructive battle.
Between who?
Between our creator and Satan.
Armageddon, it's the final battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil. Would you accept that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. How many people in the world are going to vote for Israel as being the cheerleader for the forces of good?
Almost no one in terms of the overall population. Maybe 1% of the world's population, maybe?
I doubt that. I doubt that. Okay. Israel is prepared for Armageddon. And what they don't understand is they're going to lose.
Yeah.
Satan is going to lose this conflict.
I completely agree. And yet they suffer under the delusion of thinking that God is going to save them if they destroy enough other people in other countries and a certain temple. That God's going to intervene and save them. Boy, they're going to be in for a surprise. And by the way, if Netanyahu's dead, doesn't that also end some of their prophecies right there? Because wasn't he supposed to be the last prime minister of Israel before the end of days?
Well, he is that. Okay. I'm just wondering, we're going to have to go to that betting platform and bet how many months it's going to take Israel to admit Netanyahu is dead.
Yeah. And I don't know, when it comes to Netanyahu, I don't need 12 fingers. I only need one finger to give him.
I can give him two. I got two hands.
Yeah, two hands. Bring up our feet also. Get your middle toe out. All right. Well, Bob, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate you and your expertise and your point of view. And let me give out your website again. It's 321gold.com. And I encourage people to follow you.
Don't show that picture, Dan. Look at the price of gold.
Yeah. There's gold and silver right up there. There it is. Okay. And this is all on Trump, by the way. There it is. Silver now, $72.50. Trump started this. He did it by choice. He didn't have to. He threw the whole world under the bus by starting this war. That's my opinion. And silver and gold are getting crushed in the short term. But the real thing that's going to crater is the dollar, ultimately, in my opinion.
Well, the financial system of the United States and the world is literally at a precipice. And it's about to fall over the edge. We are so close to that financial collapse, and virtually nobody sees it.
That's right. That's why I think your voice is so important right now. People need to get prepared, and they need to understand that there's going to be a delay between the events that have happened right now, that have already happened, versus how long in the pipeline of energy and fertilizer and food that pipeline strikes. You know, you run out of the pipeline. That's coming, and people don't realize it. So
time to wake up. Folks.
It is time to wake up. All right. Well, thank you for staying up late, by the way, from your home in Europe. We appreciate you, and thank you so much for your time today, Bob. It's always a pleasure, and it's an honor.
Mike, thank you. You do a great job, and frankly, people can learn a lot, and you're one of the most you want to provide the things that people need for preparation. I could show you around my place. I got 6 months food here and I got 6 months fuel, and that's probably not enough.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I'm a prepper, and I advocate that as well, and self-reliance. And right now people are realizing that the world's food supplies could be offline for a decade if this escalation continues. That's way beyond anybody's storage. So, you know, good luck, right, to everybody. Anyway, thank you again, Bob. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. Play with your dog. He's begging for attention. So we're all good. Thank you for your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, bye. Thanks very much.
All right, take care. All right, everybody, this is Bob Moriarty. And you can catch part one of this interview, by the way, if you missed that. That's also at brightvideos.com. And his website, again, is 321gold.com. He often comments on gold and silver, precious metals. But as you can tell, he's very well-informed and very bright on a number of geopolitical and military topics. And that's why I enjoy having him on. We'll ask him back again soon as well. It's been too long since I've had Bob on. This show, by the way, is brought to you by, number one, our online store where we still have food, healthrangerstore.com/survival. We have a survival selection there. And I got to say that the food that we have right now, it's not going to last very long. Sales are already skyrocketing, and we can't replace it at the prices that we originally bought it at, you know, before we did our packaging and manufacturing right here in Texas. So take advantage of the food we have right now. We're not raising prices. We don't price gouge. We're still charging you basically 2025 prices. But what's coming next is going to be 2026. You know, Armageddon prices are coming. That's, you're not going to like that. I don't even know how much food I'm going to be able to get. I've already told my staff, buy everything you can buy. And so we're just going to turn all our cash into food and then try to get you prepared. Anyway, that's healthrangerstore.com. And then for backup communications, the satellite phone store is also our sponsor, sat123.com. Always good to have a satellite phone anywhere in the world where you can see the sky. You can make or receive a phone call, even if the power grid's down. So thank you for watching today. And I'm Mike Adams of brightvideos.com. Take care. Yes, the world is getting crazy, but here at the Health Rangers store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times, and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared, and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.